catching the most fish he's ever caught in his life to leaving them behind. I mean, you would think this is the start of a big thing. Lord, you just stay with me on my ship. You tell me when to cast and save me a lot of work. And I just listen to you. And boy, let me tell you, we can mop up. We're getting a dollar a head for these fish. You be my business partner. That's not what it was about. It wasn't about the fish. It wasn't about the job. It was about serving him. It was about him. He said, follow me and I'll make you a different kind of fisherman so that I'll tell you where to cast your net in the world and catch many. Because I'm going to use you to catch 3,000 one day. You won't be able to count all of them that's been won through you. Hallelujah. No one knows exactly, maybe Brother Valentine can tell us, exactly how the apostles economically survived for 3.5 years. I don't know if them dudes saved their money and they, you know, maybe Jesus did some carpenter work and saved up some money, but they got to live for 3.5 years. And I don't think every time they sat down, he was whipping up rice and gravy and, you know, just, I think they had to live in the world and spend money and finances and place to sleep. And, you know, he stayed at Martha and Mary and Lazarus' house. He didn't have a house. And it's great when you don't have a house note and all, you know, you save somebody else's house. So they lived pretty cheap, you know, but still they had to have some finances to keep going. And I don't know if Peter had any problems with issues with the government or with anybody else, but Lord, later Peter's got a problem with everybody. I mean, he's got attitudes. He don't believe the Jews, only the Jews can get the Holy Ghost. He's got a problem with the Apostle Paul. They butt heads. I mean, he's got a problem with everybody. And I don't know why, but I found it interesting. They come to Peter to ask about the money. They come to him. So I don't know how Jesus and them survived. He might have been printing money. I don't know. He can do that. He's God. It's okay. You can't do that. You go to jail. But he can do that because he's the king. But anyway, they were surviving somehow. And Judas is the one that had the purse. But rather than them approaching Judas, who had the purse, or Matthew, who knew about taxes, they go to the Apostle Peter. Get ready. Watch. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute, these tax collectors, they came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. That's all he said. That's kind of like people when you text them this long text, they say, K. I mean, put an O in front of it, okay? And just a little bit more than K. Yes. And he walks off. And when he had come into the house, Jesus prevented him, meaning he started talking before Peter could talk, Jesus started talking. And Jesus prevented him saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Meaning those that are not their children. Peter saith unto them, of strangers. Jesus said unto them, then are the children free. Hey, what do they need money from us for? We're children of the Most High God. We're children of the King. What do we need to give money to them for? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, he's still talking to Peter. He said, even though I know this and you know this, I still think we shouldn't offend them. So he said, go thou to the sea and cast a net. It changed. We're going from casting a net to one fish. And cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. Now if you lose him underwater, that ain't the one. If he takes your bait, just bait it again. And the first one you get to come up and you get him in your hands. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. that take and give unto them for me and for you. And when you open the fish's mouth, it will shut their mouth. Sometimes if you learn just to do what God says do, it'll shut the mouths of the lions. So instead of Jesus asking Matthew, do you know a loophole, Matthew? You took taxes. Is there a loophole where I don't have to pay tribute because I'm the Son of God, Son of Man? What about one of the children? He didn't look for loopholes. What he looked for was a way to pay them. And so rather than causing a conflict. So Jesus asked the fisherman, Peter, something to do that he already knew how to do. He already knew how to fish. He didn't ask Matthew, Mark, Luke, the physician, or John to go fishing. He said, Peter, you know how to fish. And rather than casting the net, cast and hook, and ye shall find. Can you go from doing the big things to the little things? Or do you always have to be doing the big things? Do you have to go from calling your partners and, hey, look at us, come over here, to just being you and Jesus? He said, take up that fish, open his mouth, and there in that mouth of that fish, God will take what you know how to do and solve your problems. Somebody said, well, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. You don't need to. What do you know how to do? Every time you look at where Jesus said, what do you have? Well, I got a little oil and a little meal. That's all you need. God will take what you already know how to do and build on that. He took Peter, said, go back and cast and hook. Now, it sounds a little fishy to me because I don't know. Peter probably never caught a fish in all of his days that ever had a piece of money in his mouth. Now, in my mind, I mean, I'm kind of a dreamer. I just imagine. I don't think the Lord just said, poof, let there be money in the fish's mouth. I think there was one of them tax collectors out there fishing is what I think. And he got his coin out. He had a bet. He's going to bet somebody. He said, heads or tails. Poof, and it went in the water. And as it was doing this, that fish went. That's what I believe. Now, y'all dispute it if you want to, but that's what I believe. Hallelujah. And that fish swallowed that little shiny coin as it went down. He said, oh, that looks good. And he swallowed that coin. And no, the fish didn't know. This was the salvation of the taxes to satisfy the problem. Yeah. So rather than catching a multitude of fish, Peter, and opening every one of them's mouth till you finally find one's got, you just need one hook. You need one fish. You need one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You just need one. I'm here to tell you, you just need one. He said, Peter, you're going to find the coin in the place you least expect it. You see, if I would have been telling you to go find a coin, I'd have said, go to the marketplace. Go to Valero. I find lots of quarters there. When you pump in your gas, just kind of. I'm walking in. I got this down. I just keep on wanting. It might be a penny, but I tell you, to go to places where people lose. No. But the answer comes, I'm here to tell somebody, the answer comes in a place that you least expect it. And if we keep going to the places we expect it to happen, then what's going to happen is we get discouraged. Because I thought Jesus could have reached in his pocket, Mama Baggett. I don't have any coins on me. But he could have reached in his pocket like he did two fish and five loaves of bread. Just kept breaking that coin. Took one coin, kept breaking it. Here, and made all the money he wanted. It's not how he did it. It came from a man that was obedient to look in a place that you would least expect. But he took what he already knew how to do, and he helped him find a solution to the problem. Can anybody relate to me tonight? You need an answer from the Lord? Sure you do. We all do. I'm here to tell you, quit looking in the conventional places where you think the answer will come from and look in other places where God directs you. Peter wasn't just going haphazardly out there. The Lord directed him to a place that looked silly. It looked crazy. If you would have caught Peter on the bank, he didn't even need a boat to do this. If you would have caught him on the bank, say, what are you fishing for? Money. Money. Well, is it biting? Well, it will after a while. And when it looks like, you see, it was the same principle of catching nothing and then more than you could do. It was the same principle of going out there. I don't think that I'm a fish, money. But when it happens, you know God's in it. So he finds the world has asked him for tribute, and Peter finds a solution through the direction of God in a place you least expect it. Now watch. Because at the same time, chapter 18, verse 1, this is not 3 days later. I mean, he's bombarded. At the same time, he's telling Peter, go get catch a fish, give them for me and you too. I don't know about the rest of them guys, but he said for me and you. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest? What a disappointment. You're just fooling with the world and they're wanting money from this great man who's Caesar. We're talking about greatness on both sides. And here comes his disciples saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And you know who they got in mind. You know why they're asking this question. Yeah, many times people ask me a question. I say, why are you asking me that? Guy called me today. And he said, hey, Marshall, I'm so-and-so. You remember me? I said, we were little and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I kind of remember you. Well, the reason I'm calling you is, and I said, no. No, it's posted. I'm going to go hunt my pigs. Why are you calling me? What do you want out of me? They come to Jesus and they say, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? We already know one wants to sit on the right and one wants to sit on the left. His disciples are worldly minded. And if we're not careful, we get worldly minded. Who is the greatest in your kingdom? No doubt they noticed the tribute that they were given to a great man called Caesar. So they asked the same kind of question. Well, who's great in the kingdom? Caesar's great in the world. Who's great in the kingdom? Who's the greatest? And Jesus called. See, the answer comes from a place you least expect it. They were probably waiting for some answer, some famous person, or maybe say, myself, I'm the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But he called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I can tell you what he said. He said to a little boy, come see. He didn't ask a question. He didn't say, what do you want me for? What are you calling me for? What are you? He just walked over there. And we'd say, God, what do you want? What do you want with me? Why are you sending me over here? What do you want with me? What are you going to do with me? The little boy just walked up there and stood in the midst. He said, now you see this? You see how easy he come? He didn't question me. He didn't say, what are you going to do with me? He just came because I asked him to come. He humbled himself. When you've got to ask 1,000 questions, you're not humble. When you trust somebody, you don't need to say why or who or when are you going to. You just arise. Are you understanding this? So the explanation is very simple. For you, it takes a conversion. See? Unless you're converted, you quit asking me all these questions about who's the greatest in the kingdom. Can I sit on the right? Can I sit on the left? When are you going to use me? Except you become as this one. And when I say, would you mind to come? Whew. you will not ever enter the kingdom. That's the greatest. The greatest one is the one who can obey the word of the Lord without question. Simply do it. That's squirming material there, isn't it? No wonder Paul said this. He said, the Jews require a sign. Give me a sign, give me a sign, give me a sign. When I get a sign, if I get a sign, then I'll know it's the Lord. Be careful of those signs. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But he said, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jew or Greek, it is. Christ is the power of God. Amen. It is the wisdom of God. What he's saying is, who would have thought that salvation and eternal life would come through the death? It came through a place you would least expect it. Who would have thought through death life would come? He died the death of a sinner on a cross. Who would have thought that a man would die on a cross without sin and be called sin, that you and I might have eternal life? It came from a place you would least expect it. He said, I will take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'll take the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. I'll take the base things of the world, yea, the things that are despised hath God chosen, and the things that are not, to bring about those things that are. Why? That no flesh might glory in his sight. Nobody is going to say, it was me that did this. As they come tonight, I'm going to close. Who would have thought that Israel would be delivered with this? Who would have thought, Sister Valentine, that a rag and a rock, a slingshot, and a little boy with five, a shepherd boy, who would have put, I'm telling you this, betting in Vegas, he'd have been the long shot. But where they least expected it. Well, have you checked my first son out here? When, you know, Samuel got these boys. He's probably the next king. The one he least expected was the king. And some people you think, you say, boy, I'll tell you what, the Lord really needs to do something with them. He ain't going to do nothing for God. The one you least expect is the one God can use the most. Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar looked at three Hebrew boys and he said, who is your God? Let's see if your God can deliver you. And the way he least expected it, lo, I see four men in the fire, and one is likened to the Son of God. And they came out of there with not even the smell of smoke. God delivers you in a way you least expect it. Who would have thought you're going to march around the walls of Jericho one time on 6 days, seven times, and shout? And these big walls that they drove chariots over and people lived on the wall would come tumbling down. The way you least expect it is the way it happens. My Lord. Jehoshaphat won a battle the way you would least expect it. You would think they'd need swords and spears. He said, no. The battle is not yours. All I want you to do is sing. I want you to sing about the beauty of holiness because I love holiness. And if you'll just sing to me a holy song, I'll turn them enemies against themselves and you won't even have to fight. The way you least, where are you looking? How are you looking? What are you expecting? I'm here to tell you it's going to catch you off guard. I didn't find my wife the way I thought I would find her, or where I thought I would find her, or how I thought I would find her. It was the last church in the community that I went to. And I didn't want to go. My mom was the one that said, you need to go check. I don't want to go over there. I'm not telling you where it's at. Y'all can all guess. I won't go over there. 31 years later, I'm so glad I did. Hallelujah. I just hope she is. The Jews missed the coming of the Messiah. because they expected him to come with red carpet and expected him to come wrapped in a robe, but he came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, so they missed it. Don't miss your opportunity because your expectations is God's going to do it this way when he may not do it that way at all. In fact, every time in my life I thought God was going to do something a certain way, he didn't do it that way. I'm telling you, I never would have dreamed I'd be in Carlos, Louisiana. Never. It caught me completely off guard. But when the call came, I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. And here tonight, I ask you as you stand, please, please, please put your expectations in God and not in things or other people. My soul will wait on the Lord, for he is my expectation. Woo! Hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Your answer will come in a way that you least expect it. Let's sing this song tonight. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.